talks Big Ten and college football with Waddle and Sylvie.
Go Cats.
On ESPN 1000.
Go Cats.
Lots of good stuff each and every Football Friday with Dave Revson, who is brought to you by Four Winds South Bend, your entertainment escape.
Woo! South Bend, not the place to be these days.
Well, yeah, Michigan took it to them. We'll get to Rever here in a minute. Want to just, if you're getting into your car and you're in the neighborhood, Elk Grove Village is where we are at. We're at Real Time Sports. Lots of great listeners here having a Football Friday. We got some food. The food's outstanding at Real Time Sports.
Look at those fish tacos.
I got some blackened fish tacos. Yeah. I'm trying to not dive into your french fries. Did you order your plate of french fries yet?
I did.
You also, I guess, double dipped his cheese stick.
I did.
That you were sharing with Meller.
I apologized immediately. You know what? Maybe he's going to get that flu.
Yeah, and I won't get six figures for it.
No,
you
you're
basically
not.
Just, you saw the sauce. It was tasty.
Yeah.
You went back for a huge heaping after taking a big scrumptious bite
out
of
the cheese stick. Listen, that's the first time I've had a mozzarella stick in like 7 years.
What were you thinking?
I mean, I don't know. I wasn't.
They were his.
I wasn't.
And you double dipped it.
No, no, time out. Now, he brought the plate over and like a very gracious person offered me one. And then I was
saying they were his.
I was just talking with you. I wasn't paying attention. And I was a Richard. I'm sorry.
All right, let's get to Dave Revson. So come on out to Elk Grove Village. And you could win this trip to the Bahamas Bowl.
My bad.
And we'll give it away in the 5 o'clock hour. Rever, when you're out with all the big shooters, Howard and everyone at the Big Ten Network, are you ever double-dipping any part of your food if you're sharing with your gang?
No, I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I am one of the world's great germaphobes. I mean, there is no one. I'm sitting in a hotel room right now, and, you know, I just look around and panic ensues. I put the remote control usually in the plastic wrapping for the ice bucket. I mean, I've got every trick in the book. So double-dipping is a huge no-no with me. I mean, it grosses me out, and I have nightmares. I wake up in a cold sweat thinking about people double dipping.
Rever, with that in mind, do you trust room service?
Oh, I know. I mean, that's the whole thing. You can carry it to all these illogical extremes, right?
Because you know, Rever, you know, seriously, Rever, you know tonight if you order a hamburger, whoever's bringing it up is licking the top of that bun.
Ooh,
you know it.
What?
No, I know. And this is the problem, right? But so it's the difference between what you see and what you don't know about.
Okay.
And
that's
for me, it's what I see. Because I agree with you. I mean, you could be paralyzed. You can never eat anything. You can be completely paralyzed with fear. But I can't. I somehow have been able to overcome that and get myself past that because there's no doubt. By the way, guys, that's a great giveaway. Going to the Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah.
Am I eligible for that? Can I get in on that?
Yeah, you are. But you got to be here.
Yeah. Where are you now? You're out of town, aren't you?
I'm in West Lafayette. It's going to be tough. What time are you guys there until?
6 o'clock.
You're going to be here in the 5 o'clock.
Our show goes from 2 to 6. I don't know if you're familiar, Rever.
By the way, I think there's a hair in your sink, and you're going to have to get that cleaned up anyway.
You're hanging around. Listen, you're giving away today. Literally, by the end of the show, someone's going to the Bahamas.
Yes, someone here. You got.
Well, they're not going to go to the
Bahamas. Do you think the Bahamas is a talk show today, giving away a trip to Elk Grove Village?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
yes,
there should be. Yeah, there should be.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Brought to you by the council at Nassau in the Bahamas.
Yeah, the Nassau count, right? Maybe it's slightly different than Makers wanted. It's I don't know, Bakers wanted or something. Yeah.
We're having the mayor on from Elk. We're having the mayor on from Elk Grove Village. We're going to use that line too. By the way, that was really good.
All right,
let's get to the college football thing. Will we look back on the win in the rain and just punching Notre Dame in the mouth for Michigan as sort of a stepping stone win, or are we still a while away from knowing if that could be the thing to turn it around?
Well, I mean, let's first talk about the amount of consternation we had about Michigan football on this show last week, right?
Right.
I mean, I think we spent like half of our time talking about what's wrong with the Wolverines. And then they go out and have their largest margin of victory against a top 10 opponent since 1977. Arguably the best win of the Jim Harbaugh era, in my opinion. So, yeah, I mean, I think the entire state of mind of Michigan football has changed here in the last week. There was a lot of positive feeling about that second half against Penn State. And people kind of scoffing and saying, really, like, it's come to this. One half of football, you play well, and all of a sudden, this is something you think you can build on, and then they did go out and do it. So I think the last six quarters of football have been fantastic. They've scored 59 points in those six quarters against two teams that at the time of the game were ranked in the top 10. Defensively, they've been great. They gave up less than 100 yards in the second half to Penn State. And then Notre Dame, I mean, Ian Book could not do anything in that game. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you're a Michigan fan, man, you have to feel dramatically different than you did a week ago. You still kind of wonder where it was at the beginning of the year, and I think that's maybe a little bit frustrating because they are, as we discussed last week, for all intents and purposes, out of the Big Ten championship picture. But if they can carry this forward and if they can somehow figure out a way to beat Ohio State at the end of the year, I know all the Michigan fans I know would take that. So there is certainly a path, I think, to feeling like a massive step has been taken this year, and these last couple weeks are the beginning of that.
I know Notre Dame's not one of your teams, Rever, but I heard a debate on ESPN with Feinbaum and some of the other college guys, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, and they were just like, it's time for Brian Kelly to move on, because every time that they are good, they're not good enough to win a national championship. They get blown out when they're in the playoffs, but still getting to the playoffs is top four. And then another loss like this. Do you believe, if you're Notre Dame, that they ride with Brian Kelly, or will they eventually say, look, we got to go out and get Urban Meyer or get someone like that?
So I'm not close enough to the program to really know that. So anything that I say is kind of no different than, I think, a typical outsider who observes Notre Dame, who is passionate about college football and all those things that you know about me. But again, I don't pretend to know the dynamics of Notre Dame, though, of course, I would remind you they are a Big Ten hockey member. But That being said, he just looks disengaged, doesn't he? I mean, that was the big thing that I took from it. I don't know whether it's a positive or a negative. I mean, sometimes I thought he was a little crazy. There were kind of some histrionics on the sidelines in past years. But, I mean, has anyone looked more miserable than Brian Kelly did, kind of quietly in the rain, just getting drenched every time they took a shot of him, as everyone in that stadium was, and just looking kind of helpless and kind of helpless in a composed sort of way
last
week? I mean, that struck me as strange. So I don't know. You do talk to some coaches who say sometimes you're at a place for a certain amount of time, a decade or so, and it just kind of feels like maybe it's run its course. Now, there are a lot of counterexamples to that. I don't necessarily believe that. I mean, I think you can look at a lot of examples. You know, Frank Beamer, it didn't really run its course in 10 years with Frank Beamer. It didn't run its course in 10 years with Joe Paterno. I mean, I think you could go down the list and find the exceptions. You know, Mike Krzyzewski seems to have done pretty well. But it does feel like sometimes that clock just starts to tick a little bit. And again, from a total outsider's point of view, it just struck me how almost removed from it he looked. Like, he's the guy in charge, and you see this – he shots him on the sidelines, and it's just kind of there's no life in his team, and there's no life in him.
Rever, I remind our listeners that on the scale in terms of DEFCON rankings, DEFCON 1 is the worst. Okay, so when we're at DEFCON 1, we're at the most serious of situations. With that in mind, where are we at with Northwestern's offense?
Ooh, DEFCON 1.
DEFCON 1? I mean, it is, I feel like a broken record every week talking about it, but I mean, it is staggering how bad it is. I mean, think about this, guys. They have not scored a first-half touchdown in any of their six losses this year.
Unbelievable.
They're 1-6. They haven't scored a first-half touchdown. They have 75 points, the fewest for a power conference team through seven games since Duke in 2006. So it's been 13 years since any power conference team has had this unproductive an offense at this point in the season. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say other than I think it's kind of been headed in this direction for a while. I think they've been unimaginative on offense. I think you can look through the numbers and you can say, well, they've won a lot of games, and they have won a lot of games. And I think that is a great credit. You guys know how highly I think of Fitz. I love Fitz. I think he's been the most important person in the history of Northwestern football. But they need to make a change on the offensive side of the ball. They got to figure out something different here, because this notion of just kind of playing it close to the vest and hoping you get the breaks and the turnovers and that, you know, you don't commit penalties. And when that stuff evaporates, you can still have a good defense, which they do have a good defense.
Right.
But they're just not there offensively. And I just feel like offensive football has evolved. And this was
a really creative team offensively. I may have told you guys this, but remember that game against Ohio State 2013, the home game?
We were there.
Went right down to the wire. Yeah, okay. So that game, Northwestern, you know, again, that game was in the 40s. And it was the 19th straight game Northwestern had scored at least 21 points, which at the time was the second longest streak in Big Ten history, 19 straight games scoring at least 21. Since then, they have failed to score 21 in 35 of their next 79 games. Wow. So it's like that day it changed. And I get, like, they've gotten way better on defense since then. I understand philosophically you marry your offense to your defense, and they – part of what they were doing was they were so up-tempo on offense that their defense was on the field a lot, and they didn't want to do that anymore. But this offense just, you know, it's not working. And I think they've run out of players. They've been able to overcome it with really talented guys, you know, whether it's Justin Jackson or Clayton Thorson or Austin Carr. They don't really seem to have that this year, and then they've had some unfortunate injury luck, and I think it's just caught up to them. But I think it's time for them to change philosophically what they're doing offensively.
How about in Champaign? Has Lovie figured it out?
I think he may have. I think he's made, you know, a couple of really good moves. The offensive move last year, I thought, worked out very well. They were a much better offense last year with Rod Smith, and that has been a little up and down this year. They still don't throw the ball, I think, in the way that you'd like to, but they can really run it. And then he put himself in charge of the defense, which I know a lot of people rolled their eyes, but that D's better. I think what Lovie's really done well is he's hit on the transfer market in ways that not a lot of people have. You know, that is a hit and miss proposition when you go after transfers. But you go down the list, I mean, their quarterback is a transfer, Brandon Peters. The best wide receiver, Joshua Matabebe, is a transfer from USC. They've got a great transfer on the defensive line, Batiku, also from USC, who's one of the best defensive linemen production-wise in the country. Eifler, a linebacker, transfer from Washington. Luke Ford, the tight end who's sitting out from Georgia, I think is going to make a huge difference for them next year. So that is a risky path to go down. Honestly, to a certain extent, I think it's a path of last resort. I don't think that's how you want to build the program, but he kind of had no other choice, and he's hit on him. And I think it's bought him some time here, particularly if they can beat Rutgers and beat Northwestern and make it to a bowl game.
Dave Revson joining us from the Big Ten Network. Waddle and Sylvie in Elk Grove Village giving away a trip to the Bahamas in the 5 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. Rever, you're at the game for Purdue, like you were mentioning. There was I was seeing on Twitter that some people didn't like that Scott Frost was talking about his players' toughness and how they were wearing hoodies on the field at Minnesota. Was that a controversial thing that he did, and how is he being received right now in his second year?
Well, he kind of, over the last couple of weeks, has, particularly after that game against Indiana, as you mentioned, Sylvie, he's been pretty negative about some of his guys and essentially saying that not everyone's buying in the way that he wants them to. And yeah, that there is kind of a lack of toughness that pervades his team a little bit. He cited the hoodies as part of it and said when he was playing there, he would have been blast off the team. You know, you come out and you're tough, and that's part of being in Nebraska football player, not accepting okay. He kind of talked about how the program's just okay at this point. As to how he's being received, look, he is a favorite son in Nebraska. I mean, he's a guy who came home to try to save the team. He helps them harken back to the glory days. Of course, he was quarterback on one of the best teams in Nebraska history. And so I think he's going to get a very long rope from Nebraska fans in much the same way that Jim Harbaugh has from Michigan fans. I think people understand that this thing was pretty broken and that it's going to take some time. The thing I'm trying to figure out is what would be acceptable for Nebraska fans. Like, I don't think this is going to be a program that year in and year out is going to compete for national championships again. I just think the landscape has changed in such a way that it's going to make it hard for them to do that, particularly the way television has changed, that you just don't have the same kind of exposure that you have in the past. You know, you don't have that kind of leg up on everyone else. But, you know, to me, I think they could be Wisconsin. They could be everything that Wisconsin's been in the last decade or so, and they're really not close to that right now. So would that suffice for Nebraska fans? I think it would for most of them. I think most of them are pretty realistic. And can they get back there? I still think they can. I think maybe some people jumped the gun, myself included, thinking the defense would be a little bit better than it has been this year. I still think that Scott Frost is the right guy. I don't think that he's lost the fan base in any way. Has he lost some guys on the team by criticizing him in that way? I guess we'll see what kind of effort they come out with against Purdue tomorrow. I think that'll tell us an awful lot.
Rever, as we let you go, just remind you, take the top comforter off the bed, put it away, blue light the sheets in your bed before you tuck yourself in tonight, okay?
Yeah, this is one of those where the comforter is tucked into the sheets. I really love those.
Okay.
Those are great.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Silly's got a confused look on his face.
That's as a germaphobe, that's the first thing you do is take the comforter off.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is one where the comforter's in the middle, so you never actually touch it. All you're touching is the sheets.
Did you bring the Dave Savini blue light with you?
No. Yeah. Again, because you make yourself crazy, right? But, you know, the socks are on throughout the night.
Really? Socks on?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's it. I mean, it's just socks.
Hey, right. That's how they do it at the Big Ten Network.
Right. That's how we roll. Right?
Rever, you're the best.
Thank you.
Now we go under too much information. Yeah. All right, fellas, have a great week.
There you go. Check him out on the Big Ten Network. Dave Revson does great work. It's been a part of our show for a long, long time. We're at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village.
I was going to say, he's not going to go to the Bahama Bowl. He's not going to win the trip because he's not here.
You have to be present to win, so come on out. You still have a little over an hour. You got to be here in the 5 o'clock hour to register. We got our promotions team out here. Great crowd. Fantastic food. It is absolutely awesome. Doug Kazarian is going to join us in a little bit, but let's get to what to watch for.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
It's brought to you by our friends at Swift & Sons, American Steakhouse in the West Loop in the Fulton Market District, which blew Waddle's mind.
It did.
Not just the restaurant, but the neighborhood.
Looks great out there.
Whether you're going to tonight's Bulls game, Bulls and Pistons, Derrick Rose back on the west side.
Yeah.
Go to Swift & Sons before and after the game.
Hell yeah.
Or if you're going to one of those Hawks games and they only score like one goal and they give up like six, go to Swift & Sons before or after.
I don't think Pat Boyle takes these kind of these jabs well. I think he's stung by all of this Hawks bashing.
Yourself. I want them to play better.
I know, but you're making fun of them.
One of our listeners.
Love.
What's that?
Tough love.
Yeah, tough love. One of our listeners, Harry Sharp, who tweets a lot, is at the bar over there, and he said nobody that he knows more about sports
than me,
but less about hockey than the two of us.
No doubt.
And he's wearing his Patrick Kane sweater.
Stay in your lane, right? That's the best advice anybody ever gave me. Stay in your lane.
If you
want Mr. Dangles to break down why your team stinks right now at a break, I'm happy to do so.
Yes, right. It's those sticks aren't long enough.
Yes. Maybe your defensemen need to play with longer sticks and do more poke checking. So, and how about taking that puck and putting it in that net?
You said puck.
I did.
Okay, you were eating. I didn't want you to slur that word. So Swift & Sons, head there. You'll love it. Make a reservation. The Boca Restaurant Coop. Restaurateurs of the year nationally, given the James Beard Award.
Since we're making fun of what each other says, so what's a restaurant coop?
Restaurant group.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Can I start since it transitions well here? Not only do I want to watch these, I believe it's Sunday Night Football, is it Patriots and Ravens, but I'm going to the West Side tomorrow, and I'm going to see Sebastian Maniscalco in person at the United Center. You talk about a local guy making it big. It's one thing to sell out a show at Zany's. It's another thing to sell out a show at the Chicago Theater or the Rosemont Theater. It's another thing to pack them in at the United Center as a comedian. This guy is so good. He's been in studio with us. And Jesse and I are going to the United Center to see Sebastian Maniscalco, local guy. I believe he went to Northern Illinois as well.
My wife and I saw him last time he was in town. It was fantastic.
So here's my thing. I know not everyone could see him because it's sold out. But if you have not done yourself the favor, go on Netflix and download Sebastian Maniscalco's live shows. He is so good and so funny. You will absolutely love him.
I heard you mention Patriots and Ravens. What was the reference to that for?
I'm watching for that, too.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you want to take from the rest of us
as well?
Well,
I mean, what? There's not enough sports on TV?
You know what? I'm going to watch Georgia and Florida. Jeff, who do you got?
Well, boys, we all know we'll be watching sports, but my what to watch for actually comes via a new streaming service, Apple TV Plus.
Ooh, yeah.
A brand new morning show starring Jennifer Aniston.
Reese Witherspoon. We're talking about this.
Is that Steve Carell? Is that kind of a spoof on the NBC thing?
A lot of people believe that.
It's not a spoof. I think it's more of a yes. Hey, the
spoof
Me Too
is
scandal.
The first word that came into
my
mind.
Yeah, so it's yes, it's definitely regarding the NBC scandal and Matt Lauer. But it's now available on the first three episodes. You have to purchase Apple TV Plus. So a new streaming service.
How much does that cost?
That I believe is $4.99 per month. But if you want to get you want to get a little bit shrewd about it, if you wait until December 20th and start the free 7-day trial, you could actually stream the entire series.
Well,
so,
a guy like you doesn't need that. I mean, you're a guy that's only going to get injected with the flu for $100,000.
If you're somebody
so
who's interested in this series,
you're looking for the loophole.
Yes, you can wait till December 20th.
Abdallah, what are you watching for?
Well, Waddle said Florida and Georgia, but that's not the only great matchup of college football. I know it's the appetizer before the main course that is next weekend, but you still have SMU Memphis. SMU's undefeated, but they're a 6-point underdog against Memphis. You've got Oregon against USC. A lot of people are picking USC to upset Oregon as the Pac-12 continues to cannibalize itself. And if you want more info on all of those games, you can listen to Chicago's College Tailgate tomorrow at 11 a.m. with myself, Chris Bleck, and Jonathan Hood. We'll be live in the First Midwest Bank State Street Studios, 11 o'clock to 12:30 before Notre Dame and Virginia Tech.
I don't know if you heard this, Abdal, because they pulled down our microphones during crosstalk. But not only do we have the odds couple coming up tonight at 6 o'clock, it's you and Black from 7 to 9, and Waddle dubbed it
the Otter Couple.
That's funny. That's a good one. I like that. Thank you.
On Fridays, you guys should be known as the Otter Couple after Carmen and Mike North. So all that tonight. Abdallah does great work. Check him out, not only on the College Football Tailgate, but also tonight, 7 to 9 with Chris Black. One more thing, if I could add. I am really looking forward to tonight on NBC Sports Chicago to watch Bulls and Pistons. Derrick Rose is averaging over 20 points per game. The Bulls need a win. I want to see what they could do. And I want to see Jim Boylan, if you're in your car on the way to the United Center right now, can you play Kobe White? I think it would be a good thing to see Kobe go right up against Derrick Rose.
Hell yeah.
That would be the new versus the old matchup. Give it to me, please.
Hell yeah.
All right. Coming up next, we'll talk to our buddy Doug Kazarian.
Hell yeah.
Best plays of the weekend. Coming up next as we go around the NFL slate.
Hey, it's fall in Chicago. Speaking of what you're speaking of, which means the NBA is back.
Yeah.
And this year, the only home for the Bulls is NBC Sports Chicago.
Hell yeah.
That's right. You can watch all 82 games, including pre- and post-game shows, on one network.
Hell yeah.
The best part?
The press conference.
This means you can stream every game on the My Teams app by NBC Sports from wherever you are. So if you don't want to miss a LaVine dunk, a Lowry three, or a Wendell block, then you know where to turn. NBC Sports Chicago, the only home for the Chicago Bulls.
He, by the way, Jim Boylan, is the Freddie Kitchens of NBA coaches.
There's
no doubt in my mind. Way in over his head, has no clue what he's doing.
Hell yeah.
But I'm watching tonight. All right, coming up next at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Not only are we giving away a trip to the Bahamas, so get on out here, but we'll talk to Doug Kazarian and go around the NFL slate. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow Waddle and Sylvie on Instagram now, at Waddle and Sylvie.
Saw Waddle, too, on his personal account. His daughter, I believe, put up a few of his best Halloween costumes throughout the year. Follow Waddle at TommyBoy87.
That's correct. My daughter Emerson is trying to, project me into the social media.
I love it.
Scrum.
You've got a person for that.
I do. I have people.
You can follow me at Mark A. Silverman. Mark with a C, middle initial A, last name Silverman. Or as Waddle likes to call me, Ace.
Ace.
For some reason.
Single A Ron.
There will be an Ace walking away with a Bahamas Bowl trip. We're giving away a big trip to the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl. It's brought to you by Elk Grove Village. And, of course, Makers Wanted. You're going to get airfare, hotel to the Atlantis, tickets to the game, VIP hospitality tickets.
This is as good a prize we've ever given away.
So if you're in the area, get on over here quickly. Come on, have a weekend beverage with us, Waddle and Sylvie. We're here until 6 o'clock. Doug Kazarian joins us right now. Doug's been really good with us as well. He's great at what he does. Doug Kazarian is the sports betting analyst at ESPN Television. Check out his Behind the Bets podcast as well. Worked with Waddle a few years back. Doug, always great to talk to you. We're trying to still figure out who our Bears are. How do you see Bears and Eagles this weekend?
Well, we've been going all over the place with this Bears team, right? We've talked about Trubisky possibly being Vince Young 2.0. And I think with the Bears and the NFL and betting, you just kind of zig when everybody else is zagging. So I would grab the points with the Bears. I'm not told the Eagles have solved all their problems. They're a team that was pretty dysfunctional, and they faced a Bills team that I actually personally thought was pretty good, but they just caught them at the right time. Carson Wentz made all the plays. I think in any NFL game, you have to look to grab the points, and there's no reason to not grab the points here. I think the Bears' defense travels well. I'll grab the 5 points here.
Let's stay in the NFC North. Minnesota's at Kansas City. How does this one play out in your opinion, Doug?
Well, obviously this all revolves around Patrick Mahomes, who officially is still questionable. Now, I think Andy Reid did a great job last weekend giving Matt Moore every opportunity to win the game, and he was solid and had all those nice weapons, all the speed, and everything along those lines. But the problem is the defense, and that's been the problem the last few weeks for Kansas City. It was a problem against the Texans. It was a problem against the Colts. This Chiefs team has a much lower ceiling, even when Patrick Mahomes returns, because of that defense. So I've seen a line of 2 at some places. I have to go Vikings here, but it's not like I'm excited about banking on Kirk Cousins to win a high-scoring game. So it's a hard pass for me.
Doug Kazarian joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Check out Doug on ESPN and The Gambling Show, doing great work on the podcast as well. Want to follow up on the Vikings. Are you starting to buy them as a really good team yet?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because there's been such apprehension throughout the Kirk Cousins tenure and his record against teams with winning records. It's like, okay, they have a great defense. Obviously, Dalvin Cook's been outstanding. He's in the MVP conversation. They have great receivers. But can they really compete with the elite? And I think they can. And, you know, we got to remind ourselves, in the NFL, and these aren't best-of-7 series, right? They're one game and a few bounces here, and they have enough talent. Sure, they absolutely can represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
We all believe in the Green Bay Packers at this point in the season. They traveled to L.A. to take on a Chargers team that beat our Bears. How does that game play out?
Well, it's interesting. Based on the betting market, there's some interesting point spreads. There's a lot of short favorites, between road favorites between 3 and 4. You got the Jets at the Dolphins. You have the Browns at the Broncos, Packers at the Chargers being one of them as well. And sometimes those are bait that odds that you really don't want to take. I think the Packers are a good play, because I think the Chargers, obviously we know that they don't have home field advantage at all, but they're really thin and limited. And I think the Packers, as they demonstrated last week, can win a shootout. And even if the defense isn't clicking, so it's hard for me not to take the Packers here. But I think a few of these short favorites are going to blow up into the bettors' faces. I'm just hoping this isn't one of them.
This is going to be one of those games when we tune in to, Doug, when we probably see a bunch of green and gold in the stands, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Against the Chargers, everyone who went west, you know, to get out of the cold, the Packers, as small of a town as Green Bay is, they still have fans all over the country, and I'm sure there's going to be like a home game for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and historically, the Chargers are not good as a favorite, and they're good as an underdog. So it's rare we see him as a home dog. Usually you back the Chargers on the road plus the points, like the Tennessee game, or that we thought, you know, the Bears game, right? But I will say this. Chargers, since moving to L.A. at home, and we just talked about the lack of fans in the stadium, 6-13-1 against the spread.
Wow.
So this is a team that, you know, you factor in home. Now, part of home field advantage is sleeping in your own bed, not having to travel, not the news, you know. That's a part of just the crowd noise, right? The crowd noise is part. But it is fascinating to show that there's just a lack of a home field.
Doug, let's finish up our NFC North conversations. Am I crazy to think that the Raiders giving 2.5 to the Lions is a good play? The Raiders at home might be the right way to go?
I can't fault you at all. This is a different Raiders sort of era. As much as I made fun of John Gruden, and as a Raider fan myself, was not thrilled about the hire, what he's done with the offense is impressive. They're always seemingly a guy wide open. And Derek Carr looks comfortable. I like the running back, Jacobs. I think the defense is an issue. They give up a lot of points. The over is probably the play in that game. But I'll tell you what, they had the Texans on the ropes last week. If Carr doesn't fumble at the end of the first half, 2 weeks ago at Lambeau, that score is a lot different. Now, do they win? Maybe not. They beat the Bears because they jumped on them, but we saw the bad Raiders show up in the third quarter when they got outscored 21-0. So this team is more competent. I don't think they're a playoff team. They're more competent than in years past. So this short number and a Lions team that, you know, you're not crazy. Let's put it that way. I want no part of that. But you're not crazy for sure.
Right.
You got to check out Doug Kazarian. Does great work for ESPN. Their sports betting analyst. Also, the podcast is called Behind the Bets. And he joins us each and every Friday to break down the NFL. I can't wait to see what happens between the Patriots and the Ravens. So unconventional on both sides here. Because of the way the Ravens offense works and how good the Patriots defense is. And also, it's not the same Patriots offense. So how do you see this game, Doug?
I see it as an awesome game.
Right,
look,
me too.
You're not going to make a lot of money betting against the Patriots. Since 2016, they've covered over 70% of their games. Covered, not won. So it's really hard to make money betting against them. Now, we talked to some of the math modelers on our show, and one guy does a great job. And he's like, look, I think with Belichick, I always kind of give myself a gut check. Even when I have a quote-unquote advantage based on the model, I have to kind of second-guess whether it's worth a play because it's hard to quantify the coaching advantage of Belichick. And what that means is stats are used as predictive measures, right? The modeling and trying to predict and project, kind of like our football power index, FP high has whatever, the Patriots by 4 or whatever it is. But the thing with Belichick is, and Waddle, you can speak to this much better than I can, is he changes his game plan. And so whatever's happened in the past is hard to predict. Now, it's not completely caveman predictions. There's some truth in it, but it's really hard. And we've seen it over the years. Belichick will go 5 wide one game. The next week he'll go 3 backs, and LeGarrette Blount will run for 250 yards. It's just it's hard to predict what he's going to do. Now, the coaching advantage is not as pronounced in this game as it usually is. With John Harbaugh on the other side, who's incorporating more analytics, I think the field is a little bit more leveler. But for me, and I say this about some of the bad games, but for a good game like this, to take your income that you earn and it's taxed, and then to go lay -110, I just don't think there's an advantage here on either side, and I sure as hell don't want to ever do it against right. Bill Belichick.
I would say as well, I think one thing we would all agree upon is what Bill's going to do is try to take Lamar Jackson, the runner, out of the equation
right.
and force them, the Ravens, to beat them through the air, whether or not he's successful.
He's still a great athlete, though.
No question. Whether or not he's successful
right. so
doing that is another thing.
We saw that in the playoffs with the Chargers, right? They had Derwin James, and they went 5 safety corners, and Derwin James played like, you know, like a middle linebacker. Like, do the Patriots have the personnel to do that and then stand up like 7 at the line of scrimmage like they did in the Super Bowl with Goff and then not show who's blitzing, who's exactly blitzing? Like, that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting right. Belichick to do a design defense, kind of like we saw the Chargers do in the playoffs.
To Saturday, where Georgia and Florida will square off. A, your thoughts on that one? And is there another game on the Saturday slate that you've got your eye on?
Yeah, I have a few eyes on a few games. But let's Ooh. Start with the largest outdoor cocktail party. First and foremost, I agree with the line move. It opened Georgia 4. It's up to 6.5. Right now, I lean Gators. I've been sort of skeptical of this Georgia team all year, ever since I had them in the opener against Vanderbilt, and they couldn't pick up 2 4th-and-1. There's something a little off. Everyone says the wide receiver play. That may be the case. I think their offensive line, I think they're very methodical with how they move the ball. They don't have any. They typically don't have any large strike, big plays. And we've seen, you know, a lot of the times we thought they had some nice wins, like Notre Dame at home by 3. Well, look what's happened to Notre Dame since. They barely beat USC and then got whacked at the Big House. So I'm a little concerned that Georgia's not is much better on paper with all their recruits than they are in person. I think they have trouble at the wide receiver position as well. Georgia is limited, kind of playing with house money. Excuse me, Florida. But I've been very impressed with how they've played as a unit. So I think I would have, if I had to play the game, I would grab the 6.5. But it's a pass for me. Now another game, a little bit lower profile, is in Bloomington, Indiana. I like the Hoosiers laying the 10.5 against Northwestern.
Wow.
We know Pat Fitzgerald, all world, and all that is an underdog. I get it. But this Northwestern team is pretty bad. and nowhere near as talented offensively in years past, and even defensively. They just got their butts kicked back-to-back in higher-profile games at home by Iowa and Ohio State. Now they got to go on the road, face this Hoosiers team that's 6-2. Only losses are against Ohio State and then at Michigan State. I think the Hoosiers' role here, this Northwestern team literally ranked like dead last in the 130 FBS schools in a couple offensive categories, is just inept. I think IU has too much offense.
Yeah, I was asking our guys earlier today, Doug, would you rather watch that game or Jets and Dolphins?
Or option C, Liberty UMass.
I would do
Indiana Northwestern because I want to see. I think so. So here's what's funny with the Wildcats. They have faced six Power Five opponents. So they have UNLV and then six Power Five opponents. So of those six in the first half, they've been shut out twice, and the other four in the first half, they've mustered a field goal each in those four. Like they haven't scored a first half touchdown against any Power Five opponent. We're in November, guys. And the team total in the first half is going to be over 7. It's going to be around 8.5. I just think this Wildcats offense is really, really limited.
Doug, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about the move that the sportsbook made to refund the Mitch Trubisky MVP bets. What did you think about that?
Well, they do this for promotion, so people like you and I can discuss it, and they get free publicity.
Right.
And I did a story. It reminds me of the story I did earlier in the year after like week three or so about the Dolphins and how they were just, you know, historically bad. Books were getting crushed. And one of the odds makers and bookmakers just said, look, they're playing in the early games. They're not playing the last game of the night. So even when people win money betting against the Dolphins, they're going to put it back in the pool with the later games and they're going to lose. So my thought process is anybody who's betting Mitchell Trubisky, even at 100-1 and like juicy odds, is probably not an advantage player. That's what they call it. Are you an advantage player? And they're not an advantage player. They're minus expected value. Minus EV is a term used. So even if when you give them their money back, they're going to lose it elsewhere.
He's describing
and
you,
you're getting
Sylvie.
The free publicity.
Totally.
So
you're describing Sylvie, Doug. Yes, absolutely.
At the time, I thought it was good value,
he
Doug.
He took the hook. You didn't even have to throw any bait on that hook, and he took it.
Well, I'll tell you this. I give you credit for at least trying to hit a long shot at 100-1. The people who were betting like 2-1 and even money on stuff at the beginning of the year, like I made. How about this, fellas? I don't want to be the know-it-all all the time, right? I laughed at anyone who bet Mike Trout at the beginning of the season at even money to win the American League MVP. Now he's probably going to win it, and I still don't think it's a good bet because the people who are still making even money with the risk of injury and on a team that's not supposed to even win their division, like it's just not a good like advantage play because the people who are doing that are also making other bets that are losing. So at least you're going for the 100-1. I'll give you credit there.
Doug, we always appreciate the conversations. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You got it, fellas. Have a good one.
There you go. Doug Kazarian, always really, really good and a fun time with him as well. Check him out on ESPN. Also, Behind the Bets podcast. All right. We have a unique interview coming up next. How did a suburb of Chicago get involved in a bowl game sponsorship in the Bahamas? We've got this trip because of that, and we're giving it away coming up next. We'll talk to the man who came up with the, quote, crazy idea next. It's Waddle and Sylvie on a Football Friday. It's ESPN 1000.
Want to bother Waddle and Sylvie 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
I think you are more stupid today than most days.
Get at the guys on Twitter, at Waddle and Sylvie, and at TWaddle87.
And also the Instagram accounts having a good time today. Elk Grove Village, real-time sports. Not only did the bar, but the entire village rolled out the red carpet for us.
Yes, they did.
And we are giving one lucky listener a trip for two to the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl, brought to you by Elk Grove Village. And we have the mayor from Elk Grove Village, Craig Johnson, with us right now. And this is one of the most unique partnerships in sports maybe going on today. And it was a great idea. You were giving us some background off the air, some of the naysayers. Tell us, when did this happen? When did you think about it? And you're like, okay, we got to sponsor a bowl game, a college football game.
And let's do it in the Bahamas.
Yeah, it worked out well that way. Well, what happened was we used to sponsor Chicago Cub games. And then due to cost and all that, as the Cubs started winning World Series, we kind of stepped back and we're trying to think of another way to recognize Elk Grove, but on a national level, not just locally. So I was up north, and there's no ice for ice fishing, no snow, snowmobile. So I'm watching bowl game after bowl game, and I tell my wife, who's sitting there, I said, hey, I said, look at the TV. She goes, oh, another bowl game. I said, yeah, but think of this. Makers won at bowl. And she said, ah, oh, you're whatever, nuts. I said, okay, fine. So I bring back to the village, and I talk to my staff. And they said more politely, because I'm the mayor, I'm nuts. So then we did one last chance with our marketing people, and they grabbed me and said, mayor, this is gold. This will take off for the uniqueness, and you wait and see the kind of coverage you get and publicity. And so we went with it, and as they say, the rest is history. I mean, we got coverage. We were in the three biggest newspapers in India when we announced it. And I said,
wow.
Well, what's that big deal? They go, mayor, who owns most of your hotels, your quick marts, your liquor stores? Indian Americans. You want those businesses to know about you. And they read their local papers online. So, I mean, it's worldwide known. And here you are today. You wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for it.
How receptive were the network executives and the bowl people as well when you decided that this was something that you wanted to do?
You know, ESPN jumped on this right away. They knew this was gold because of the uniqueness, everything else. So they were there. Actually, at the end, we had three bowl games trying to get us to join them. The Hawaii Bowl, the New Mexico Bowl, and the Bahamas Bowl.
They were recruiting you.
They basically were recruiting us, yes. They all wanted us to be their sponsor. And so I'm sitting there going, well, where do you want to have a bowl game in December? The Bahamas don't sound too bad. So we did. But now I'll show you the political world. I told everyone, this is not a junket for elected officials. So any of us that go down there, we honestly pay our own way.
And you found out, you were telling us at the break, this is a wonderful place.
Yes.
But outside, you know, it can get a touch pricey. So you're not out there on the, citizen's dime.
Well, I told them it's the only place you pay $26 for a cheeseburger. So Tom Cercione, don't get any ideas.
Yeah.
That's a little high. But I actually lost 4 pounds when I was down there because I was watching what I ate. But no, it is a beautiful place,
the
Bahamas.
Fantastic.
Atlantis is first class. They treat you well. And the teams absolutely love going down there. As we walked around seeing the players, they're in heaven.
Yeah.
And they said, no offense, but do you want to play in Detroit in the Motor City Bowl or the Bahamas? Not much of a choice there.
Yeah.
How about what you guys are doing? What have you been able to do because of the return that you've got on the investment in the bowl game?
Well, we're very fortunate. You know, it's very hard sometimes to draw a direct line from advertising directly to a sale when you're marketing a community as a whole. But Love's Fueling Station, who everyone sees on the highway throughout the country, the head guy for development was watching our game, believe it or not, and he's watching over and over, and he says, what is Elk Grove Business Park, which is what it's about? He Googled it and said, we need to be in Elk Grove Village. So he came out here, found a location. They're going to start building after the holidays, and we're going to have a Love's Fueling Station Elk Grove that's going to generate close to $1 million a year for the village in tax revenue. So we can show directly it works. So you got to think outside the box.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. Don't listen to all the naysayers. And sometimes you hit a grand slam.
Well, today we're celebrating this particular project. But what's on the back burner now that this has been so successful as well?
Well, we want to continue building up our business park. You guys, as you sit here today, are sitting in the largest business park in North America. We're an economic engine for the Northwest suburbs, and not only Northwest suburbs, but the entire Midwest. So we're looking to keep doing things. We have a technology park, 85 acres being developed in Elk Grove with the highest, newest technology. We got international companies looking to come there. So we're constantly looking to improve, and we're trying to stay ahead of the curve, not try to catch up. So we're always thinking, you never know what I'm going to think of next.
Right.
What about the Elk Grove Village Super Bowl?
Well, you never know. I'd love to see that happen. As long as we can have it at their stadium and not Elk Grove, I don't think they want to play at Elk Grove High School.
Well, and you're a great success story, too, because at one time you were the wrestling coach, weren't you? And a big sports fan, and now you're the mayor of Elk Grove Village.
Well, you know, I always tease, I don't mean to tease you, Tom, but we always said football was a great warm-up for the real sport of wrestling that comes afterwards. But, I was the head coach there. And I'll tell you, you learn a lot being a wrestling coach because we don't get the limelight like football, basketball gets. But we know how to go one-on-one, and we hate to lose.
Well, I was telling the mayor, too, all of my experiences in the game of football, the toughest guys I had on my team were always wrestlers. Mark Bortz was a wrestler. Jimbo Covert was a wrestler. I think Olin Krutz more recently is somebody that has wrestled and had great success. So it's a tough sport for sure.
Well, and I was telling you earlier, Tom, Sporting News did a study. 97% of all the all-pro NFL linemen all wrestled in high school.
Yeah, it's incredible. Well, Mayor, thank you for coming out here.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing this because you elected to do this.
Right.
We're out here. We're giving away one of the best trips we've ever given away. 13 years we've been on the air. One of the best trips, one of the best prizes we've ever given away. It's not possible without your vision. Thank you, and hopefully this is the start of a great partnership with the Waddle and Sylvie Show and Elk Grove Village as well.
We'd awesome. Love to have you back. What do you think, guys? Should we get him back again? That's what we want to hear.
Yes.
Guys, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mayor.
There he is.
Great
Mayor
to see
Craig
you.
Johnson. We're live at Real Time Sports. You still have time. We'll give this away towards the end of the show in the 5 o'clock hour. Dan Weider reporting from Hallis Hall. Some extra names on the injury report. And what will Mitch do? Does he bounce back? Coming up against the Eagles. It's Waddle and Sylvie live in Elk Grove Village at Real Time Sports on ESPN 1000.